Good morning and welcome to Elam Pentecostal Church, Sunderland. We're delighted that you've joined with us. I just want to read Psalm 103, which is a Psalm of David, and he declares these words. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He reveals his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans. Listen for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Amen. What a great psalm of praise that is, as we give thanks to God for who he is and also for the many blessings that we receive from him. What a great song of praise and thanksgiving that is. And I just wondered if we can maybe just take a moment where you are right now, just as we take this moment to reflect and to thank God for his many blessings and his faithfulness to you. So where you are right now, why don't you take this moment to thank God? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you, and we thank you for who you are, that you are God, that you are the one who created everything, and you're the one who created each one of us, and that, Father God, we have purpose in living, because, Father, we were born and created to give you praise. And, Lord, Father, we thank you for your many blessings. The psalmist records the many blessings that you've forgiven us our sins, that you have indeed healed our diseases, that you're the one who redeems us from death, you're the one who crowns us with love and tender mercies. And you're the one who indeed renews our strength. And we pray for one another, that, Lord, in this period, in this time, in this season where life isn't as usual, life isn't as normal as it once was, that, Lord, during this time, that we would indeed be aware of your presence with us. That, Lord, whether we're feeling lonely, whether we are, Lord, just struggling with pain, with bereavement, Lord, with disappointments, with doubts, with anxieties or fears, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that, God, we would invite you into where we are. That, God, we would turn our eyes upon you and we would put our faith and trust in you. So, God, Lord, thank you that indeed, Lord, you have blessed us. And Lord, Father, you will continue to. So Lord, we pray now that as we continue in a time of worship, that we would indeed be aware of you being with us exactly where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That was great to hear about Children's Church and SYC. And we give thanks to God for boys and girls and our young people. And please continue to pray for them. We pray that indeed they would know God's love in their lives, especially at this time. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, thank you for Children's Church, for SYC, for our boys and girls and young people, and for our leaders, Lord. And Father God, we give you thanks for each one. And we pray, Lord, during this season, during this time of change in their lives, we pray, Lord, that God, they would know your love for them. That, Lord, they would know that, Lord, you don't change. That God, they can depend on you, Lord, 100%. And Lord, Father, we pray that God, they would indeed talk to you and Lord, tell you how much they love you, because God, you love them so much. So Lord, we pray that Lord, you would help them with the schoolwork and Lord, and the fact that they can't meet up with their friends physically, but Lord, they can speak to them and see them, Lord, with technology, and we thank you for that. But Lord, just help each one of them during this time of change in their lives, Lord. And most of all, we pray that they would know and experience your love for each and every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll be hearing more, I'm sure, from our children, for my young people, in the coming weeks. Amen. Let's come to God's word now. I want us to turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, and reading from verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and caught and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realise that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of a large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was so full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you, your word is living, it's active. It's not a historical, not simply a historical book, but it's a living book, which is up to date, which speaks into our lives, which shows us how to live for you today. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak into our hearts, that indeed our hearts would be open to receive, but also to respond to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week we were looking at Doubting Thomas, and remember how Jesus had appeared to his disciples. He'd appeared to them actually twice, and the first time when they were together, Thomas wasn't there, and they tell Thomas that they'd seen the Lord had appeared to him, and of course Thomas says, "Well, you know, I'm not going to believe it unless I actually put my fingers into the nail prints of his hands, unless I put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe." And Jesus very graciously appears again the second time to his disciples. And this time, Thomas is there, and of course Jesus ministers these words to his disciples when he appears to them. Each time he says, "Peace be with you." Of course, they would have been aware of how they had behaved previously when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how the disciples had fled, they deserted the Lord. And Jesus ministers the words, "Hey, do you know what? Peace be with you. Peace be with you." He doesn't go on to them. He doesn't rebuke them, but he says, "Peace be with you." And he's right there in the midst of his people. And Jesus very graciously ministers that into our lives. So often when we fail, when we get things wrong, and yes, the Holy Spirit comes and brings conviction, but doesn't leave us in our guilt, but actually draws us closer to God and says, "Come on, let's sort this out." And ministers forgiveness and grace into our lives. And for Thomas, Jesus graciously allowed him to put his hands into, put his fingers on where those nail prints were, those marks of the nails, and also put his hand into the side of Jesus. And then he says to Thomas, "Do you know what? You believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe." And Jesus calls us blessed. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. So indeed we're blessed people. Those who put their faith and trust in the Lord. So we were looking at Doubting Thomas last week, and today we are then looking at denying Peter and not stopping there, but actually how Jesus, there's a rededication that takes place here. Of course, we see that Peter's denial, he denies the Lord 3 times, and that is foretold by Jesus in John 14:31-38. And we see in this account how actually Jesus meets with Peter, and there's a heart-to-heart that takes place here on the beach. Just before we get to that, we see here that the disciples are out fishing. They go back to their business, their way of earning a living, after the appearance of Jesus. They go out fishing. And it says here they were out all night and they didn't catch a thing. And very graciously, early the next morning, Jesus stands on the seashore. The disciples don't recognise it was Jesus, and he calls out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" To which they reply, "Well, no, we've not caught a thing." And he just says, "Do you know what? Throw your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you will find some." It's not recorded here. We don't have any account of them saying, "Well, who are you? Are you a fisherman? Do you know what you're talking about?" They just do it. And when they do, it says they were unable to haul in the net because of a large number of fish. And immediately it says, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, John immediately recognises, this isn't any ordinary person. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. And as soon as he says that, Simon Peter, typical Simon Peter, just jumps out into the water. He wants to see Jesus. And other disciples follow in the boat, towing the net of fish. So there was 153 fish that were caught. Now, there's many discussion, many commentaries on the number of 153, the significance of it. We need to be careful not to get caught up on that too much, but also to focus on actually what happens after that, and the conversation that takes place between Jesus and Simon Peter. But you know what, perhaps the 153 fish in the net, it represented the kind of success, the ultimate success in their chosen profession. Perhaps the number represented security, where the security was, the good life, so to speak. Some commentators have said, well, it was actually the number of species of fish that there is. There's many commentaries and discussion on what the number of fish means. Suffice to say that actually, do you know what? They did what the Lord told them to do. And with that brought success. The Lord had granted them success because they obeyed him just did what he said. So there you go, there's a lesson for us. Just do what he says, because he knows best. And Jesus knew exactly where the fish were here, and he gave direction to the disciples to throw their net on the right-hand side, and that's where they would catch the fish. I'm not sure whether they were expecting as many as they got, but certainly Jesus is in the business of the overflow, the abundant, the more than immeasurable God. He can do immeasurably more than ever we could ask or imagine. That's God. That's our God. So, Simon Peter here wants to meet with Jesus. He just wants to see him. We don't know what conversations had taken place, if there had been any conversations that had taken place prior to this. Of course, Jesus had appeared before the disciples twice, when they were all gathered together. As I mentioned earlier, we're not told that there'd been a conversation between Jesus and Simon Peter any time earlier. But here, Simon Peter's eager to see Jesus. But more importantly, Jesus actually was eager not just to see Simon Peter, but to speak with him. There was some business that had to be done. And Jesus takes Simon Peter aside after they'd finished eating, and they're going to have a heart-to-heart talk on the beach, and perhaps actually Simon Peter, when he saw the fire of burning coals with the fish on it, that fire of burning coals would have perhaps have brought some memories back to him of how he had denied the Lord. And in John chapter 18, we read the account of Peter's denials. And actually, John chapter 14, we actually hear there how Jesus actually says to Simon Peter, "You're going to deny me." In John 13, verse 31, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." There was a reason for Jesus saying that. He'd spent three years with the 12 disciples, and each one of them came from different backgrounds. There were fishermen, there was tax collectors, and they had different personalities, etc. And we're not told an awful lot about how they all got on, but suffice to say that actually there would have been times when perhaps they might have got on one another's nerves. Perhaps they might have been thinking about, like with Simon Peter, "Oh, there he goes again. Always the first one to say something or to go and do it. Oh, there he goes." So Jesus says to him, "Do you know what, guys? Love one another. Love one another." And praise God for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I'm going to be leaving you, but I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit, the Comforter." And he's the one who helps us to live life.